that together with Chair Kunesh. So members of the public, just kind of a little bit of word on the process here. So first, just a reminder that this conference committee came about with the early learning bill from the House and then the provisions related to early learning in the Senate. We had a couple of meetings, but as is often the case, the chairs needed to work some things out, a little bit of trying to figure out how to accommodate the House's priorities, Senate priorities, and bring things together. We hope, thank you, Chair Commissioner Martin, and the governors as well. We want to make sure respect the administration as well. So a fair amount of discussion. Often what happens at that point is that there is a conference committee meeting at which the chairs then present their intended agreements and go on from there and have a discussion. Then that gets then turned into a conference committee report. In this case, this bill is very much linked to the E-12 budget conference committee that Chair Kunesh has been having with Chair Buick, which has caused some challenges in bringing this group and that together to review as Chair Kunesh and I have had tender agreement, but depending on various things in the E-12 conference committee. So the point is, what's happening now is that we have a conference committee report, which we're going to do hearing momentarily, that reflects the agreement between the chairs, as would typically be the case that we have an agreement between the chairs, spreadsheet, et cetera, and then that gets turned into a conference report. In this case, it's sort of doing that backwards, but the end result ends up being the same. But we have a committee meeting which we review the agreement between the chairs, just so happens we're reviewing in the form of a conference committee report rather than through in the form of different provisions that the staff are going to have. So I say that just to kind of make sure, just to know what comes into the process. My thinking is that we will walk through the conference and the agenda to provide for walking through the spreadsheet reflects our agreement report, and then also the documents to walk through the company report itself. And so we would be going on that. I suspect that President Daniels, I know we talked before the meeting, at some point you want to make a comment. I don't know if you want to do that again, if you want to save that for another time. Or anything else, or I'll do it at the end of this meeting once we walk through the subject.
I think I'll just do it later, so that's okay.
Absolutely, sir. Okay, and then, Chair Kunesh, anything that you want to add regarding any of that before we dive into the spreadsheet?
Well, thank you, Chair Pinto, for that very thorough explanation of the process. I think it's I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, I did not use the on mic but that whole time when I was talking. I just realized that. I'm hoping that folks were able to hear that, and if anybody's watching online, our audience would probably.
And that. No, it was actually, so Madam
Chair,
my apologies. Let me just note for our major audience of four or five people watching online that I had a long series of remarks that really were scintillating and so powerful, but I did not have the on mic on. I'm hoping that it was picked up. And then I'm going to turn now to Chair Kunesh, who knows how to operate the mic, for her to say whatever she wants.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. And it was a really great explanation of the process thus far and the kind of work that we've had to do to bring this to you today, which is an excellent early education budget bill that I think is really going to address many of the needs of our very earliest learners, especially in those areas of early development, and we know how important that is from those very, very early stages to have the support and the programs and the facilities to ensure that our kids are ready to join us at the kindergarten early in our K-12 programs. So thank you for all the work that you have done in the past to put this together in the way that it is. I'm just kind of stepping in on my first endeavor here with you and have thoroughly enjoyed this work with you, as well as always impressed with your passion and your dedication to those very earliest learners. So with that, I think we should get going and share what we have.
We do need to do that, though. I was so focused on process that, Madam Chair, I absolutely need to thank you for just how collaborative you've been in this process, how incredibly hardworking you've been, knowing that this has been going on while you've been negotiating and putting together an amazing E-12 budget as well. And I'm just so grateful to you for your leadership and partnership. And yes, with that, we should dive into the spreadsheet and walk things through as reflecting the agreement. I'm going to ask, I'm not sure if House or Senate Fiscal will be taken over. It looks like Senate Fiscal, perhaps. So please, identify yourself and then proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Jenna Hofer. I am the nonpartisan fiscal analyst for the Senate Education Committee. Ms. Beckel and I will be walking through the spreadsheet in your packets. In the upper left-hand corner, it's labeled 2023 Legislature Early Education Budget Bill. On the upper right-hand side, the timestamp is May 11th at 8:20 p.m. And I'll briefly orient you to the spreadsheet before I begin walking through the appropriations that are within the conference committee agreement. So beginning on the left side, you have the line number followed by the program name. In columns A and B, you'll see the original House position for the 24-25 biennium and the 26-27 biennium. Columns C and D contain the original Senate position for the 24-25 biennium and 26-27 biennium. Columns E through J contain the conference committee agreement for the 24-25 biennium and the 26-27 biennium. And then just above those, you'll see the budget target for this conference committee. In the first biennium, the target was $300 million. And in the second biennium, the target was $100 million. So beginning on line one, you'll see this is the Early Education General Fund Appropriation Change Item Summary. On line three, the first program is the Children's Savings Account Startup Grants. The conference committee agreement provides $500,000 in fiscal year 2024 only. Line four is an increase to the developmental screening aid. This is an increase of $1.951 million in the first biennium and $2.02 million in the second biennium. On line five is an appropriation for the Department of Education for administrative costs related to developmental screening aid. In the first biennium, this is $204,000, and in the second biennium, this is $154,000. On line six is an appropriation to the Department of Education for early childhood family education support staff. This would provide two staff, and this is $750,000 per biennium. On line seven is the Early Education Curriculum Grant. This is an appropriation of $500,000 in the first biennium only. On line eight is an appropriation to the Department of Education for transfer to the Office of Higher Education for early childhood teacher shortage program. This is $1 million per biennium. On line nine is an increase to the Early Learning Scholarship Program. And this general fund appropriation is transferred to the special revenue fund. In the first biennium, this is $252.057 million. And in the second biennium, this is $58.928 million. On line 10 is the Executive Function Curriculum Grant. This is a one-time appropriation of $300,000 in fiscal year 2024 only. On line 11 is an increase to early childhood family education aid as a result of the increase to the formula allowance in the K-12 education budget. In the first biennium, this is $5.517 million, and in the second biennium, this is $10.728 million. Line 12 and 13 are for the same Great Start Scholarship Program, but line 12 is directly to the Department of Education, and this is $1.656 million in fiscal year 2024 only, while line 13 is an appropriation to the Department of Human Services for transfer in the future to the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. In fiscal year 2024, this is $2.61 million. On line 14 is an increase, it's a new appropriation for the Grow Your Own Early Childhood Educators. This is a general fund transfer to the Special Revenue Fund. And this is $5 million in the first biennium and $1 million in the second biennium. On line 15 is an increase to the Head Start program of $20 million per biennium. And with that, I will turn it over to Ms. Beckel, who will walk through the remaining appropriations within the conference agreement.
Thank you so much, Ms. Beckel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Solvay Beckel, House Fiscal. I will go ahead and start on line 17 of the spreadsheet, the kindergarten readiness assessment. This is an increase to the existing $281,000 appropriation in current law and is an increase of $2.524 million in the first biennium and an increase of $3.538 million in the second biennium. Line 18, Learning with Music, Early Childhood Educators. This is a one-time appropriation of $500,000 split out as $250,000 in fiscal years 24 and 25. Line 19, the Metro Deaf School receives $200,000 in the first biennium only. Line 20, the Parent Child Plus program receives an increase of $1.8 million in the first biennium only. This is on top of their current $1.8 million per biennium base funding. Line 21 is the funding for administrative costs for the pre-K program. The pre-K seats that are currently in the K through 12 bill require some administrative costs, and so those are being funded in this bill. Those are being funded at the cost of $1.031 million in fiscal years 24 and 25 and $1.382 million in the tails. Line 22, the Quality Rating and Improvement System is receiving an increase of $1.1 million in fiscal year 24 only. Line 23, the Reach Out and Read Minnesota program receives $500,000 in both biennia ongoing. Line 24, the Way to Grow program receives $300,000 in the first biennium only. And that is the general fund appropriations for the early education bill. And as Ms. Hofer mentioned earlier, those total to the targets of $300 million in the first biennium and $100 million in the second biennium. If you'll turn to the second page of the spreadsheet, you'll see the impacts to the Special Revenue Fund. As Ms. Hofer mentioned earlier, some of these items are transferred to the Special Revenue Fund. On lines 31 and 32, you'll see the expenditure authority. And on lines 36 and 37, you'll see the revenues. So on 36 and 37, you'll see early learning scholarships and the Grow Your Own funding, or the increases, the increase to the early learning scholarships being transferred in from the general fund appropriation to the Special Revenue Fund. And then on lines 31 and 32, you'll see the department's authority to spend those funds. And those are in the same amounts as the appropriations above. And on line 40, you can see that those items net to zero because they are allowed to spend all of the money that is transferred into those special revenue accounts from the transfer. And Mr. Chair, that is the spreadsheet.
Thank you so much, Ms. Beckel, and thanks to both of you. I know the really just terrific work of Ms. Beckel directly, and I was connecting with Chair Kunish and just praising the work of Ms. Hofer as well. So thank you so much to both of you. Members, we'll see if there's questions right now about the spreadsheet. We will also, of course, be going through the conference committee report for questions and also have the chance for questions and comments at that point as well. But are there questions that that anyone has about the spreadsheet at this point? Okay, so not. And I should note, just because this really is worthy of note, the lines relating to pre-K and just the recognition of the powerful work of Chair Kunish and Chair Joachim in getting thousands more kids preschool, which is just an amazing achievement. And so thank you so much. That's just incredible. Thank you for your work. So moving on then to the conference committee report, not seeing any questions at this point. And so I'll ask our nonpartisan staff, not sure who's going to do that or how that's going to work, to walk us through the conference report. So Ms. Mock, we're going to start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Annie Mock with House Research, nonpartisan staff, and I'm going to walk through the conference committee report for House File 2292. So starting with Section 1, this was language that was identical in both the House and the Senate, and it provides that state appropriations for Head Start programs can be used for costs associated with program operations, infrastructure, or reconfiguration. It also designates 10.72% of the total state appropriation for Head Start to tribal Head Start programs and specifies an order in which the state appropriation must be distributed.
Ms. Mock, I'm just going to stop you for a second. If you wouldn't mind, I maybe should have asked this with the spreadsheet too, though, no problem, but just with each section indicating where in general it came from, like this one, I believe was maybe even both bills. I could be wrong, but just sort of if you happen to have that information, I think members would find that useful. So thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this Section 1 was carried in both the House and the Senate bills.
Okay, thanks.
Section 2, this section is new since this conference committee last met. This section establishes the Great Start Scholarships Program to develop and implement a plan to create a new scholarship program that incorporates early learning scholarships and CCAP for families with children families with children under the age of 5. So this provision was heard in the House as part of the Great Start Bill, and it's my understanding that it was also heard in the Senate as part of the Great Start Bill.
And Ms. Mock, I think that provision then passed through in the version of it on the HHS side as well through the House.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
It's, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So moving on to Sections 3 and 4. Both of these sections relate to early childhood developmental screening, which is a process for trying to identify health or developmental issues in kids before they enter kindergarten. So Section 3 requires a district to include virtual screening for families that want a virtual screening because of health conditions or health concerns. And Section 4 increases the amount of state aid paid to school districts for each child who is screened prior to kindergarten. And both of these sections, Sections 3 and 4, they were carried both in the House and the Senate in identical form. Section 5, this is a section that was a House-only section. It requires schools to employ licensed teachers to provide instruction in preschool and pre-kindergarten programs. And it also provides a grandfathering provision for preschool and pre-kindergarten teachers who are currently teaching. This language has been modified since the committee last met. So if you look on lines 7.10 to 7.12, there's language there that provides that the licensure requirement does not apply to individuals who work in a licensed child care center or in a certified license-exempt child care center. And I think the concern there was that there are some schools that house child care programs, so it's just exempting those teachers from the licensure requirement. Section 6 establishes a Grow Your Own Early Childhood Educator Grant Program, and both the Senate and the House carried money for this program, but the House was the only body that carried the language that's currently being adopted here. And that language has been modified slightly since this committee last met. The small change clarifies that the Grow Your Own programs can help can assist individuals earn parent and family education licenses. And these are the licenses individuals need to teach parents as part of the state's ECFE program. Section 7 directs the Department of Education to employ two full-time staff to provide operational support and guidance to ECFE programs. And this language was carried in both the House and the Senate in almost identical form. Section 8 is another provision that was carried both in the House and the Senate. It strikes some obsolete requirements that apply to the State Advisory Council on Early Childhood Education and Care, and then also directs that council to provide input on the work of the Great Start Task Force. There were some technical differences between the House and the Senate language due to the House getting some technical assistance from MDE, and it's the House language that's adopted here. Section 9 is a new provision, or it's a new provision at least to this committee. This section modifies the Parent Aware program, which is the state's quality rating and improvement system for early care and learning programs. This language was heard in the House and, again, I believe the Senate in the Great Start Bill. The section provides an automatic one-star parent aware rating for any licensed child care programs that are in good standing. The section also directs DHS to develop a process that allows programs to opt out of that automatic rating, and that process must be developed by July 1, 2026. The section also directs DHS to work with tribes to determine a process that's consistent with this one-star rating for tribally licensed programs. Section 10 is the kindergarten entry assessment, requiring MDE to implement a kindergarten entry assessment of all incoming kindergartners. This was a House-only provision, and this provision was discussed in this committee. There was a presentation on it, and the language has remained unchanged since then. Section 11 starts the first of several provisions that affect the Early Learning Scholarship Program, and this language has changed since this committee met. And there's a lot of varying section effective dates for this language, so stay with me. So the section changes age eligibility for scholarships to include all children from birth through age 4, and that was a provision carried both by the House and the Senate. And this change would go into effect January 1, 2024. And then this section also sets income eligibility for scholarships at 47% of state median income, which is the at-application amount for CCAP. And that change is effective July 1, 2024. And then there's an increase for income eligibility up to 85% of state median income, which is the maximum federally allowed for the CCAP program. And that change goes into effect July 1, 2025. Section 12 is new language that just incorporates some new ideas into old language. So this section creates a new subdivision that lays out how scholarships are prioritized. It adds new priority groups for scholarships, which were carried both by the Senate and the House. And most of those priorities go into effect July 1st, 2024. There's one new priority, prioritizing kids under the age of 4, which goes into effect January 1, 2025. And then beginning July 1, 2025, the priorities change a little bit so that the commissioner is giving highest priority to children in families with income less than or equal to 47% of the state median income. And then within that group, the children are prioritized if they meet one of the priority groups. Section 13 is another scholarship section. So this section, there's a bunch of language stricken at the beginning, and that's all relating to the priorities, which, of course, have just been moved into that subdivision I just described. And then this section also directs the commissioner to establish a schedule of tiered scholarship amounts based on specified factors. That was a House-only provision. And then this section also provides that scholarship cancels if a recipient has not enrolled in an eligible program within 3 rather than 10 months of receiving the scholarship. And that was a provision carried both in the House and the Senate. Section 14 is also scholarship related. This was House-only language that is unchanged from the last time we heard it. This removes the requirement for programs to have 3 or 4 stars under the Parent Aware rating system in order to accept scholarships. And this that requirement would have gone into effect July 1, 2024. Section 15 is the last scholarship section. So some of this language was House-only language, and that allows the commissioner to use up to $2.13 million annually from scholarship money for costs associated with administering and monitoring scholarships. And then there's some new language in this section, beginning on line 19.14, that allows MDE to use up to $5 million in scholarship money to create various IT systems. And then beginning July 1, 2025, to use up to $750,000 annually to maintain those IT systems. Section 16, this was language that was included in very similar form in both the House and the Senate bills. It provides that a parent of a student with a disability who's not yet enrolled in kindergarten to elect a school in a non-resident district where the child is enrolled in a child care program. And the House language is being adopted here. Section 17 is new, and it's related to that parent aware automatic one-star rating that I described earlier. This section directs DHS to examine the automatic one-star requirement and report to the legislature on it. Section 18 was House language that provides that if an appropriation or transfer in the bill is enacted more than once during this session, then the appropriation or transfer only takes effect once. Section 19, this is a new appropriation since this committee last met. It appropriates money to DHS for the Great Start Scholarship Program, that program I described from Section 2. And there's a similar appropriation, as you heard when Ms. Hofer and Ms. Beckel went through the spreadsheet, there's a similar appropriation to MDE in the appropriation article. Section 20 is the appropriations that we walked through with the spreadsheet, and that is the conference committee report.
Thank you so much, Ms. Mock. Really well done. And we appreciate you walking us through. Members, let me think. So, and I should just say a big thank you to all of our nonpartisan staff. I know Ms. Mock was the one who handled walking that through, but we are very grateful to you. So questions regarding the report, we'll do that next. If folks have questions and or substantive comments that they wish to make. I know Representative Daniels, you, oh, I'm sorry, same thing. No, it is on. Okay, good. I'm in trouble with the Senate room. Representative Daniels will call on you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for your passion on this stuff. I know it's very near and dear to your heart. And we've agreed to disagree a few times. But this kind of came as a shock. The lateness of the report, not meeting, you know, for a regular committee time to go over the last changes. So in that sense, I'd like to move that the reconsider the approval of the conference committee report on House File 2292 for further debate and possible amendments.
You know, Representative Daniels, I'm trying to figure out if that's a thing that can be done, because I think once the members have signed, I'm not sure that that is, in fact, even a thing that would be in order. We maybe can check with, I'll let you convene consulting. I don't think I've ever, I'm seeing a lot of perplexed faces. So the theory, I mean, once the conference report is signed, it's submitted, it's been sent to the Speaker and the President of the Senate. I'm not sure there's anything that, I'm not sure that works exactly, but yeah, I'll pause for a second. Representative Daniels?
Well, I think precedence has been set that we can submit a new conference report, new conference committee report.
I mean, in theory, but I don't know that this is, but I don't know that sort of that motion, because since in a way the submission of the report is not really an action happening, I'm not really sure that motion is in order. Do we have some reason to believe that it is? Representative Daniels.
Mr. Chair, do we have any staff that would be able to clarify that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Representative Daniels, we may have some input, and I'm so sorry. You can identify yourself when I call on you. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, members, at least what it sounded like the representative saying it's...
Would you mind identifying yourself?
Oh, sorry. Anne-Marie Lewis, Senate Counsel.
Thank you,
it's a motion that would be done on the floor to reject a conference committee report and send it back. At this point, it's either, I guess, signing it or not signing it, but not rejecting it.
Ms. Lewis, that's very helpful. So it sounds like the way to accomplish your goal, Representative Daniels, is that when the report is submitted to the full House and full Senate, at that point, a motion can be made to reject it, to not accept it. And that would then send us all back, and the bodies would be saying, go back to work and do some more work. Representative Daniels? But I do think the motion here is out of order, I'm afraid. But Representative Daniels.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just disappointed. This is kind of, in the last 12 hours, everything has been passed through without transparency, without public knowledge, and you know, we haven't met since May 3rd, and we have a week left of session if we, you know, and we can go to the 22nd, so I don't understand why the rush to push all this through and not being transparent. I just, that was my, we talked about that in my office, and I appreciate you let me, you know, vent a little bit, but this is not how the governance should be done.
And Representative Dan, we definitely have a respectful relationship, and I appreciate you raising it and appreciate raising it now. I guess I would challenge the your point about transparency, and the microphone was off earlier when I said this. Maybe this is an opportunity to say it again with the microphone on. Just a reminder that typically with a conference committee, you've got a couple meetings, which we did, and then the chairs really do need to go back and do some work together, and then typically what happens is there's a meeting convened for the chairs to share the agreement that they've made, and then that gets turned into a conference report. The difference now, which then you don't come back on the conference report, so that was the meeting. So just the difference now is just a little bit of a slight different order in how it's done. It certainly would have been our hope to be able to meet and review earlier. The concern, as I mentioned before, is the link of what we're doing here with the E-12 bill, and I should have also noted the link between what we're doing here and the HHS bill as well, as the provisions moving. But Representative Daniels, will go back to you. Looks like you have something else, sir.
Yeah, that was kind of my point of not having an input at another conference committee meeting is so we can maybe offer amendments and discuss the differences we have between, because there's a lot of good in the bill. Yeah, and you could do a fine job putting it together. So there's a few things we don't like. And right now, there's no way to even, present an amendment. And, again, we have till the 22nd. We don't have to be done by the 18th. We can go to the 22nd, keep everything transparent, have the discussion, and, present maybe, I think we were talking about three amendments. Wouldn't take very long. So I'm disappointed in the process more than anything. And just want to voice my opinion on that. But I appreciate your willingness to come down to explain some of this, what happened.
Well, no, and certainly Representative Daniels, appreciate your work. And, of course, yeah, the those concerns are noted, and it's good to have them aired. Appreciate it. If there's other either questions or concerns or comments that any member may have, that they want to make. Otherwise, I'll just note, I was saying to Chair Kunish this, as we went through the spreadsheet, my head has been in a different area the last couple days, but as we were looking through the spreadsheet, I was kind of getting a little bit overcome by just how powerful, what a powerful difference that this work is going to make for young kids, and then we know that if you make a difference for young kids, that means it makes a difference for all of us, which is really exciting. So looking to see if any other members have any comments they wish to make. Representative Perez-Vega.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of this amazing joint, I would say, futuristic upliftment for our future leaders. And we really put a lot of time and effort into this. And I want to, thank members of both sides of the aisles for the contributions that they place. I'm so happy that Learning with Music is in there, because our little musicians that start from outside the womb into going into pre-K are going to be able to not only carry their instruments, but also learn about our indigenous cultures, and also learn about how there's so many different beauty of angles and dialects and languages. And I see great representation in this, and I'm really proud of the work that you've done, Chair Pinto, and to our Senate Chair, Madam Chair Kunish. I know that we had some agreements and maybe different wordings and agreements, but we spent a lot of time on this, and I want the members of the public and our constituents to know that we did spend a lot of time on this. And I look forward to seeing the great programs that are going to happen because of this budget. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Perez-Vega. Chair Kunish, then comments from you, and then we'll wrap up.
Well, it was really great walking through this and to see the work that where we started and what we ended in. I'm really excited now about the prospect of this children's savings account, the startup grants that we're going to be doing. I had a lot of questions, but I was reassured that, this is a really great way to teach our kids, how not only some financial responsibility, but also the ability to see the work and their own earnings adding up over time. I know how important early childhood education is. I think as a teacher of 25 years, you can almost tell when a child comes in at kindergarten what sort of exposure they've had prior to all of, joining an elementary school. And if they've had early childhood or Great Start opportunities or Head Start opportunities. It really is very, very important. I'm excited about our support of the Metro Deaf School. That's something new, if I'm not mistaken, and we want to make sure that those kids that have those hearing issues are being supported in the very best way. And Reach Out and Read Minnesota, of course, as a library media specialist in a past life, that's certainly very exciting for us to recognize how important it is, literacy and reading is in the development of young children, and of course, Way to Grow. And I think I've shared with most of you at one time, I did work for the Way to Grow program as a family resource advocate. And so here I am some 20-some years later, able to support that program and make sure that it continues so that families are able to grow, children are able to develop in a really positive way, and that we're getting those little kiddos into the schools prepared to learn, excited to learn, wanting to learn, and go through their educational process, ready to go. And this just really represents the good work that you, as I said, had already put as a base, but now we're able to start building on what we've done in the past and looking towards the future. So thanks very much. And I want to thank Senator Duckworth for joining us. He's our GOP member, Senator Wicklund also, and then, of course, our fabulous staff on both sides of the House and the Senate, and our GOP members. This is good work, and I'm really excited to be able to put my name on it.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks so much to everybody, and I share your thanks for our incredibly hardworking staff, and thank you, Representative Perez Vega, for your hard work, and Representative Daniels for your partnership, and we're all we're just trying to figure out the best way forward that we all can, and we know that when we make the kind of investments that are represented here in the youngest Minnesotans, that's a huge payoff for all of us, and that payoff goes for a long time to come. So this is powerful work. I'm so excited by it, and I would just sort of urge all of us, and collectively across the bodies and across the parties, to keep these investments in the earliest years in mind, in whatever form they come in, to make sure to make that happen. So, members, conference report's been submitted, so the bodies will review it then, and then we'll move on from there. But with that, I don't see anything further. And so with that, I think, Madam Chair, I think this conference committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone.